you.
Trust and obey, that's an old one. How to stir our hearts. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we've seen the need for faithful laborers. We've seen the difficulties of confusion of saved and lost mixed together. We've seen the tragedy of the last days, the peril, the compromise, and the softening of what used to be a militant Christianity into a man-pleasing religion. And we've seen the delight and power of God's pure word, the blessing of it, the light for men's souls. We now come to chapter 4, and God starts to tie these various lines of thought together and to give us direction for the perils of the last days. How do we overcome? How do we deal with such? Heavenly Father, help us as we look at your word. Teach us. Help us to be prepared for what we shall face. Help us to behave properly now and be ready to stand right then. Help us to have insight to what does happen. And Father, we'll look to you for explanation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, who's a minister. He said, I charge thee. He said, I'm giving you a charge. It's not like a charge account. This is a commission that he's to follow. I charge thee before God, or therefore, in the light of what's come before God, with all the darkness seemingly painted, and the Lord Jesus Christ before these, they are witnesses to the charge and the commission. He said, the Father is watching. The Lord Jesus Christ is watching. And, of course, the Holy Spirit indwells. The entire Trinity is observing. This is serious business. This is universal business that a Christian has. Our business is far bigger than just us and our lives. It's that which excites the head of heaven and the head of the church. It's of great interest to them, and the commission is a commission bearing all of their authority behind it. I charge thee, therefore, facing all the trouble, but there is a Bible, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it tells us a little bit about Jesus, who shall judge. Keep in mind the Father's committed all judgment to the Son. Gospel of John says so. He's the judge of all the earth. Everybody is going to stand individually, one at a time, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. Now, there are two major judgments at two different times. The lost get judged at the judgment seat of Christ for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. The lost get judged at the great white throne judgment for the things they've done in their life. The books are opened. Neither judgment determines where you go. That was determined by whether you're saved or lost here in this life. When you get to the judgment, your destiny is already determined. It's just the degree of what you get there is going to be determined at the judgment. He said, now, you're going to face Jesus one day, and everybody you minister to is going to face Jesus. Whether they believe in him or not is irrelevant. He is going to be their judge. Notice what it says. Who shall judge? And he will judge. He is the judge. We're not the judge. The church isn't the judge. Religion's not the judge. The world's not the judge. Jesus is the judge. He'll judge the quick and the dead. Those that are still dead in their trespasses and sins, he's going to judge them. Lost as they are, he'll judge them. But he'll also judge the quick. You, if he quickened, he put life in you. You were born again. You were saved. And now you're quick. You're alive spiritually. alive spiritually or dead spiritually, you're going to face Jesus. He will be the judge. He judges those that are alive. They've been born again. He'll judge the dead, the lost. They were not born again. They were not saved. He'll judge the quick and the dead, both classes. He'll do this at his appearing and his kingdom. That's the timing. When Jesus comes back and he takes the saved out, he takes the church off the face of the earth, the dead in Christ shall rise, and he will all be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. At that appearing, there'll be the great judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge the quick, the saved, at his appearing. But the lost, he's going to wait a while. He'll judge them at his kingdom, at the end of his kingdom. The great white throne, Revelation 20, gives you the timing, place, and details. Lost people get judged then. Saved people get judged here. Keep in mind, his appearing means there's a judgment coming. And we'll receive, and there'll be rewards passed out, as well as other things for what's been done bad in the body. But these are things we'll get to a little later. But he said, I'm charging you in front of the Father and the Son, who's the judge of saved and lost, and is appearing in his kingdom. He's going to be judging in the light of the judgment. And I have to consider, what have I done for when I'll face him? What have I done to help others that'll face him, to be ready to face Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, to be holy and pure, to come with accomplishments of things they've done for Jesus? They've lived their life for him. They've served him. What have I done to produce those that'll be thankful on that day of that judgment when the rewards are passed out? What have I done in my life? I have a charge, and I need to realize I'm preparing people to meet Jesus one day. And I look at this other group. What did I do for these that were lost to try to keep them from the awesome and fearful day of the Lord, the great judgment, white throne judgment, where the lost are thrown into the lake of fire, and death and hell are thrown in after them, and they'll have fire and they'll have death forever and ever in all of that lake of fire. They'll be punished for all that they've done. What did I do to try to rescue them out from that? I think of the hundreds and thousands that maybe I should have reached and did not reach. I'll have to answer for it. What an awful thing, since so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be there when he judges. My family, my neighbors, my friends, those who sat under my preaching and they didn't see enough or hear enough to care enough about their soul. Oh, in the light of those judgments, Jesus is going to judge. And I've been given a charge. You've been given a charge of what to do. We're ready now for verse 2. We have the backdrop. Preach the word. He didn't say feed the hungry. That's on the side. He didn't say educate the ignorance. That's a side issue. He didn't say help people to have better jobs. That's nice. But the thing that needs to be done, the last days, perilous times shall come. Preach the word. Preach it. It takes the word of God to bring a change in a man's soul, to prepare him to be saved and then to be there at that judgment. It takes the word of God to rescue them from having to go to hell and go to the great white throne judgment. Preach the word. It's what they need. It may not be what they want, but give them what they need. Now, I don't know about you, but I sort of joke a little about seeing a doctor. I do my best to keep the doctor happy. And I'd like a doctor that make me happy. Your health is coming fine, despite all the tests. You're doing well, despite all the evidence. Now, that'd make me feel good if they didn't tell me the other side. But I really need a doctor who'll tell me the truth. We've discovered this problem. I didn't even know about that. But I don't take it as welcome news. You preach the word whether they want it or not because they need it. You preach it to those that'll come. You take it to those who won't come and preach it to them, be it in the home, on the street, at the job, in the neighborhood. Preach the word. That's the command. That's the solution for these days. The government can't straighten things out. Business can't straighten it out. Education can't straighten it out. Look how long and how hard they've worked and how it's ended up. Listen, I was talking with Brother Jones. How many great cities we have in the United States. And the enormous numbers of office buildings and the Twin Towers in New York. And a corner of the Pentagon got hit. And it shook our economy to the roots. That's fragile, isn't it? I mean, they didn't lose an office desk in Philadelphia. They didn't lose a taxi cab in Chicago. They didn't lose a fishing boat in San Diego. They didn't close a restaurant in San Francisco. We haven't talked about New Orleans and St. Louis and Houston and Dallas and on with the major cities of our nation. Three buildings. And the whole economy shook. I want you to know we live in fragile times. Fragile. Just a minuscule fraction of 1%. The whole nation is shaken. And we're supposed to be one of the most solid nations in the world. This world is in more trouble than people want to talk about. And the solution is in the church, the Christians. We have the answer. We have what's needed. The precious, precious Word of God came from heaven, given by inspiration, profitable for our use, changing lives, making people wise unto salvation. And the strength of our nation was founded on this book, and we've gotten away from our foundation, and it doesn't take much of a wind to shake things up. Preach the word. That's the answer. Put out those tracts. Pass out those gospel booklets. Witness to this person. Put in a word, whether it be at a picnic or wherever. Give them what they need. They know where to go to get what they want. But you give them what they need. Preach the word. That's the answer for the blackness of the hour. He said, be instant. That means constant. Don't back off. Don't drag and procrastinate. To the very instant you get at it, in season, out of season. You say, well, there was a time when people wanted it. That was true, it was in season. So they don't want it now, I guess it's out of season, isn't it? But that does not change the charge we are given between Almighty God the Father and Almighty God the Son, who's going to judge us and judge them. He's going to judge them by His words. He said so. And most of them don't know that He's a judge. They don't know they're going to be judged. And of course, they wouldn't have a clue what they're going to be judged by. And they might want to argue it. But it won't change it. In season, out of season. Brethren, if you think it's bad now, it's going to be worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse. deceiving and being deceived, right up until Jesus comes. If you think it's out of season now, I've got news for you. I knew people in the 1940s thought it was out of season. And the 50s and the 60s. Well, it's further out now. It's only going to get worse. What you do this week will be easier than next year. So you might as well get to it. Be instant. Get at it. Instantly to it when you leave here. Pray about who you can speak to and what you can tell them. Prepare yourselves to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in you. Get a hold of this precious book, because it and it alone has the answer for the needs. And as bad as things are, they might get worse. You say, well, what happens if they get better? Bless God, we'll be back in season and we'll have a chance to breathe a little, but don't worry, it'll get out of season again. You say, just learn to work despite the seasons. Said, learn to reprove. People won't like that. Learn to rebuke. They won't like that. But it's necessary and it needs to be done. Doesn't mean be nasty or unmannerly. Just preach the word. It's amazing what it'll do. The power of the word. The power of what God has said may be the arrow to somebody's soul, and they may not like the piercing, but the Holy Ghost can use it and work inside. I know a person that got under conviction after several years from something in a funeral message. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. They couldn't get away from that. They couldn't drink it away. They couldn't drug it away. They couldn't gamble it away. They tried all kinds of things. They couldn't get away from it. God's arrow had stuck in their soul. Preach the word. Don't worry about the seasons. Let it reprove. Let it rebuke them if need be. It's the only hope there is for their soul. Exhort with all long suffering. You might have to suffer to give somebody the word of God. They may despise you. They may curse you. But they'll have that as a memory to face if they never repent when they get to the great white throne judgment and they're judged. The books are opened of the things they've done. That'll come up against them. You gave them a chance. They had an opportunity, and they rejected it. And when you get to your judgment over on this side, that you suffered for Christ, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And so long suffering's preparing us for blessings on the other side. So stay with it. Don't quit. No matter how badly it hurts, stay with it. How long it takes, stay with it. George Mueller prayed for two young men 50 years and died without seeing them converted. Witnessed to them, but it wasn't long after he died, they were saved. I think there'll be by now, at least a joyful reunion on the other side. He was long-suffering. He went through whatever it took. But you stay with it. Just stay at it. And do it not only suffering long, but give them doctrine. Tell them what the Bible says. Say, well, I don't believe the Bible. The Bible is God's holy word. It's the Holy Scriptures, able to make thee wise unto salvation. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them about Jesus. Last week I felt visiting in a home that I needed here in September to read about what the angel said to Mary about the virgin birth. Carolyn read it. I explained it. And the man who's been a studier of religion 20, 30 years or so of different aspects, he said, I never heard anything like that. That's new to me. And that's sobering that God came down and became a man. You imagine studying religion 20, 30 years and not having a glimpse of what it meant for Almighty God to stay God and become man also by process of the virgin birth. We need to, with long suffering, give them some doctrine. Give them some basic Bible teaching. I can remember reading the crucifixion in a home over 40 years ago, just reading it. I'd explained it, but I was reading it. So he'd understand about Christ dying for our sins. And before I could finish, he interrupted me and said, I don't know about you, but I've got to do some repenting. Got on his knees and God saved the man. Sound doctrine. Give them the truth of the Word of God. You can discuss politics and sports and weather, but we need to see they get the doctrine. Preach the Word. Give them those basic truths God's laid out in the Word. Verse 3. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Give it to them while you can. Because the time will come when they won't let you in the door. When they won't come and hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear what the Bible says on this subject and that. That time will come. It's always been there for some of them that they didn't want sound doctrine. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 11, there must be heresies that they which are approved may be revealed. People will go chasing after heresies. They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want that teaching. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll be glad for false doctrine. False teachings. They'll be glad for twisted teachings or watered down teachings, but not old fashioned, pure, sound doctrine. In fact, while they're receiving it, some of them resent it. And they tolerate it. That's what it says. They will not endure. I've put up with enough of this. I've had all this I want. You know, they've been enduring it. They've not been rejoicing in it. They've not been receiving it. They've not been delighted about it. They've just been enduring and putting up and going through till they can get away from it. And I'll only take so much of this. I've heard people say that. Or I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And they won't. You see, they already had found themselves enduring sound doctrine, but now they've come to where they're not going to endure it anymore. Give it to them while you can. It's their only hope. And if they don't want to receive it right, they're headed for trouble. And eventually they'll get where they won't even receive it and tolerate it. They'll just cut it off. They'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, like those in the book of Acts that want to hear some new thing. The ears are itching for a new slant, a new twist, some new idea. And they go and find teachers. It'll tell them what they like and make them feel good. They pick their teachers. When they won't endure sound doctrine, they pick teachers that are what they want, that make them feel good. I'm going to give you a quote, but it has an application. Romans 15:3. Even Christ did not please himself. We saw in chapter 3, they'll be lovers of their own selves. Here we find they heap to themselves teachers. I can listen to this teacher. I can listen to that teacher. And I feel so good. And after all, it's all about me. But Christ set a pattern. It isn't about me. It wasn't about him. He didn't try to please himself. He came to provide a ransom, not to make himself happy. And our job is to see people ransomed, not to feel good about ourselves. But there'll be teachers that will come up with things that'll make them feel good, and they'll like what they're hearing, but it won't keep them out of hell. They'll have religion without the Scriptures making them wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. They found a way to do it without the Scriptures and to put a patch over their sins. Oh, when you look at what's going to happen, there'll be an explosion of false religion. We saw that in chapter 3. It'll have the form of godliness. It'll have the teachers. It'll have those that'll go into homes and get people in their sins and leave them in their sins, but get them added to their religious group. They'll be lovers of God, but they love their pleasures more. They'll be lovers of themselves. They'll be covetous, and all of that will fit together. This sort there are. They'll be putting these teachers in there. The teachers will make them feel good. So you better reach them before they get to that stage. That's where they're headed. It said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. I don't listen to that anymore. I'm not going to hear that anymore. And truth be told, they're right. They won't hear it anymore. They make a choice. Here's the truth. And they turn their ears away. Not going to listen to that sort of thing anymore. But they do not understand. It's like deceiving and being deceived. When they turn their ears away from the truth, they shall be turned unto fables. They'll believe some of the strangest things. I'm amazed at people that used to preach at least out of the Bible that are talking about the inhabitants of other planets and trying to figure out, did Jesus die for the people on other planets? And they preach this. Billy Graham, Peter Ruckman, and on the list goes. Fables. Fables. God put us here. God sent His Son down here. He didn't create inhabitants of other planets. That's Mormon doctrine. Evolutionists consider the possibilities. But we have the Word of God. All of the universe, and God focused on this minor planet. All of His intents and plans. All the rest is to show us the greatness of Him and His Son who is involved in the creation. There are all kinds of fables that come along. People go to heaven because they never heard the gospel. Now, isn't that interesting? Well, you'd be surprised how many people believe that fable. See, when they turn their ears from the truth, eventually, God said, you made a move. You turned. I make a move. You're going to be turned. And you'll believe strange things because you chose not to believe what is right. Reach them while you can. Reach them while they'll listen. Find some that will. You say, some of them won't listen to me. Find some who will. Because some of them pass their day of grace and their opportunity. And some go down that road and God may bring them back. You want to be ready for them. But don't sit and grieve over who you can't reach. Pray about those you can. Preach the word. He said, but watch thou in all things. So stay alert. Stay understanding. Watch what's happening in people's souls. Watch who might be open. Watch who might be able to benefit from the Word of God. Watch all things. Watch the darkness of the day. Watch the corruption that goes on. Watch the compromise. But you don't have to participate in all things. You watch. Because I went to the zoo and I watched the lions. Glad I didn't have to participate with them. I watched the big old tigers. Glad I didn't have to participate with them. Watch the snakes. Glad I didn't have to participate with them. You watch things, but it doesn't mean you're doing it to participate. You observe. Stay alert. Know what's going on. Watch. Watch thou in all things. Watch the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Stay alert, lest he come by you. Endure afflictions. You're going to have to suffer. Toughen up. Put up with it. Go through with it. It's just part of being a Christian to suffer afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Now let me say that there is a gifted position of an evangelist. Ephesians chapter 4. Not everybody is an evangelist. Most of us aren't evangelists. But the charge from Almighty God is we can do the work of the evangelist even if we're not one. We can work at reaching souls. We can reach these that are headed for the pits of hell to burn forever and ever and ever and say, flee to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Turn from your wicked ways. Behold the straight narrow road. We can do that. Now, the evangelists might be more effective, but there's such a shortage of them, and some of them not going to do it right. We get in there and we get to cheering, but we get to shouting too. Do the work of an evangelist. You say, well, I'm not an evangelist, so I don't need to witness. Oh, yes, you do. You're to give the word of God. Everybody is saved to give the word of God. Do the work of an evangelist. Labor at it. Work at it. See what God does with it. After all, he's the one who's going to do the saving anyway. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. God's given you a ministry, and you're to work at it. And make full proof of that ministry. Accomplish it. See it through. Those of you saved here tonight, what's God require of you? What's he expect out of you? You know, every saved person has a ministry assigned by Almighty God. He's left us here to accomplish that ministry. When he saved us, he could have taken us straight to heaven. But he left us here. What's he want me to do? What's he want you to do? What is your ministry? Mrs. Gearhart, you can count on her being back there. But for right at 40 years, give or take a few, she has visited the nursing homes of Hagerstown, read scripture, prayed with, given tracts to thousands of people as they teetered on the brink of death. It's a good place to catch them before they die, isn't it? She's had a ministry. She is known for that ministry. Paul Ritchie, nursing homes wasn't what his ministry was, but he covered the entire city of Hagerstown door to door with tracts, trying to witness to people at their doors, the whole city by himself. Well, he took somebody with him, two by two, but he did it himself. That was a ministry. He put out millions of tracts. His last effort, where he was martyred, he had over 400,000 tracts, plus 10,000-11,000 copies of 1 John. He had New Testaments and Bibles, and he was preaching in the streets. And the eight churches there, I don't know how many there are now, but they graduated this month 19 preachers to go out and start new churches at a Bible school where he died. The blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. You know what his ministry was. Some of you, it's handling the funds of the church in a trustworthy fashion, handling them and caring for them and giving direction on it so that the money goes as far and does as much as is possible. Some it's teaching Sunday school or primary church or missionary helpers. Some it's visiting neighbors. What is your ministry? And do you know how to accomplish all the ministry God has given you? I don't know that any of you will find part of your ministry reaching the Choctaw Indians of Oklahoma. But through missions, we get it done, don't we? I don't know that any of you will find your ministry to prepare Greeks to run their own church and evangelize their own people. But we helped finance that, didn't we? You see, I don't know that any of you have a ministry of preparing Christians and churches to live under the harsh hand of communism in Venezuela. But we helped on that financially, didn't we? And in prayer. Maybe your ministry is prayer. Then pray, pray, pray. Learn how to pray more and more effectively and more powerfully. Any ministry is going to require a good bit of that. But make full proof of thy ministry. Take it as far as you can. Maybe it's training children to be able to fill gaps down the road. Maybe it's training people in various elements of the Scriptures. What is your ministry? And stick with it. Be at it. God's gifted you severally, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not just a single gift, but several to everybody as He chooses. Do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what your calling are? Gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Do you know what your ministry is? And do you know how to see it as far through as you can? Think of what God lets us do as a church. Putting out literature and messages in a lot of dark spots of the world. Supporting missionaries. Seeing churches established. Seeing the international headquarters of the Conversion Center come, and some of you, at least part of your ministry, is helping see the office run right, and that literature gets sent out, and questions get answered. The finances are there to see the work go on. As a church, you've taken it under your wing. That's become part of our ministry as a church. Oh, look at this. We're headed to a judgment. And when I get there, I want to hear that I'd had full proof of my ministry. And I'd like each and every one of you here tonight to be able to be saved and be there and have made full proof of your ministry. See, I don't have to answer for millions of saints around the world, but I do for the sheep God gives me to feed. You say, well, there aren't many. Well, it gives me more time to pray for each of them. Maybe to help each of them. I don't know what I'd do if I had 1,000 or 5,000 to take care of. I'm not sure I could pray for them even once a week intelligently. But I can pray for most all of you at least 5 times a week. And I try from my heart to help you be prepared to make full proof of your ministry. So we get to heaven, we'll be rejoicing. Look what God did. We'll know what we were and weren't. But we'll know He's all. And we had a ministry from Him, and we carried it out. My, when I think of the things that are done, things that can be done, if we just settle down, full proof of our ministry, it may be to reach people on a job or in an office near or in the community, doing the work of an evangelist. Full proof of your ministry. You say, these are hard days. Make full proof of your ministry. Well, there aren't many left. There's that much more work for each of us. And we don't bump into as many either. We just go on. Be faithful. The Word of God is adequate. It is supreme. It is the only hope, and we need to spread it. We'll stop there. I'd hope to cover the next three verses, but they'll wait till next week, God willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be useful. Help us to be successful. Help us to see our way all the way along. Help us to understand those that will listen, then will draw back, and then eventually turn and not hear it anymore. Father, it's not what we desire to see, and it hurts to see, but you told us this sort of thing would happen. And they go for what would make them feel good. Help us to help those we can. Help us to be faithful and adjust in the dark days and shine as much light as we can. Keep us from just quitting. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close.